Good evening. No slight is intended here, but when the service was advertised on Sunday, it was suggested that you might like to come if you're not involved in some sort of celebration of St. Valentine. I think it was one of those occasions when the speaker hadn't quite worked out beforehand how they'd finished the sentence. Today is the first time since 1945 that St. Valentine's Day has fallen on Ash Wednesday. I learned that on BBC Radio 4 this morning, and so did Jez. So I guess it's a problem we won't encounter again very quickly. But of course, the Church of England has an answer. The Bishop of Huntingdon sparked up a discussion on Facebook asking how we should respond to this clash. At one point during the discussion, that the Church of England calendar has rules. Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday and Good Friday are principal holy days. These days and liturgical service provision for them may not be displaced by any other celebration. Not by red roses, not by chocolates, not even by the celebration of human love. Well, that may be the rule, but what of the practice? And what about Facebook? Well, what about it? Chimes were encouraging people to come in and get a free shortbread-shaped heart that had been dipped in chocolate. Not bad for the first day of a fast. I saw plenty of Roman Catholics coming out of their church in Huntingdon this morning after celebrating communion. I know lots of people will give up something in Lent, which started this morning. I know many families will have had pancakes yesterday with no intention of fasting during Lent at all. In my active ministry days, I'd often introduce the Lent group theme on the Ash Wednesday communion, but here at CSK we're not having Lent groups this year. However, we must celebrate the recent blooming expansion of our small groups, presently digging deeper into the parables taught on the previous Sunday, so I can understand that. In a young and contemporary church such as CSK, there's little interest in the traditional church calendar and its provision. And I think I want to celebrate the fact that it's Jesus that we promote at CSK, not dates in the calendar. Let's make sure that dates never come first. Yet just after his baptism, just at the start of his public ministry, this happened. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. I like that. But at the end of 40 days, he was hungry. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at ideas tonight, pray that you will speak to our hearts, that you will speak through these words to each of us individually, to encourage us to lead this time between now and Easter well, so that we can be more thoroughly discipled. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our reading from the prophet Isaiah spoke to the people of his day. "Raise your voice like a trumpet," said Isaiah. "Declare to my people their rebellion, and to the descendants of Jacob their sins. For day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what's right and has not forsaken the commandments of its God. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. We've fasted, they say, and have you not seen it? We've humbled ourselves, and you've not noticed. They were disappointed people. On some levels, both visually and audibly, God's people were doing the right things. They were keeping up the traditions. They were seeking out God. They were eager to know God's ways, but they had no idea that they'd long since departed from God's pathway for them. And they were grumbling that God no longer noticed them, despite them humbling themselves just occasionally for a day. But the humbling was in their eyes only. God didn't see it that way. For those who plan to give up a luxury for Lent, chocolate, wine, TV, Facebook or whatever, it cuts no ice with God at all. Yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. It's not real. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for people to humble themselves? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying in sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? I don't know, but God's words through the prophet Isaiah probably went unnoticed in Isaiah's day. But Jesus understood them and took them to heart in his time on earth. He could see the mismatch between the formalized religion run by men for their own vanity and a genuine relationship between people and God, which he came to introduce. So at the beginning of his formal ministry, Jesus went into the desert to fast and pray and reflect so that he could act to change the world and bring us into a relationship with his Father and our Father. Is not this the kind of fasting I've chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke? To set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe them and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood? The 40 days of fasting by Jesus in the wilderness clarified his vision for his ministry. In Luke chapter 4, just after the 40 days in the desert, we read, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He went to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And here we are tonight because that good news was proclaimed to us. And by the grace of God, we responded to it. On most Ash Wednesdays, we're taught that Jesus overcame the devil by knowing Scripture and applying it. And so he did. But that battle with the devil continued throughout Jesus' human life. At the end of the 40 days, we read in Luke, when the devil had finished all this tempting, he left Jesus until an appropriate time. But the devil never did knock Jesus off his path. The words of God through the prophet Isaiah spoke to his generation, they spoke to Jesus, and now they speak to us. They speak because we have inherited many aspects of Jesus' ministry. We could paraphrase, the Spirit of the Lord is in us because he has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent us to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. We try our best to do that through our ministry here at CSK. And our reading contains the same promise for us that it did for Jesus, if we carry on with Jesus' ministry. If we carry on with Jesus' ministry that he's given to us, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help, and he will say, "Here am I." If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He'll satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. So, Heavenly Father, as we embark on this period we historically know as Lent, help us to desire to be the ones who picked up your task to pronounce good news, to proclaim good news, to look to the sick and the vulnerable, the prisoners, those caught up in sin. Help us, Lord, each day to draw a little closer to you, to be strengthened by this period between now and Easter, and then to be able to really understand and celebrate Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.